Emmy Award-winning brothers Chapman and McLean Way are the authors of the Untold series. Earlier in August, the first two episodes of their series dropped. The Girlfriend Who Didn't Exist, there are others as well. These are sports stories that maybe you know a little bit about, but you do not know the whole story, hence the Untold title. Fellas, welcome to WGN Radio in Chicago.
Hey, John, thanks for having us on. Super appreciate it.
Yeah, well done. Now, Chapman, say hello. Which one is Chapman?
This is the Chapman speaking here, but if the audience gets us confused, I'm fine with that. I'll take credit for anything Mac says.
And Mac, you're there as well, right?
I'm here too, yeah.
So you brothers, are you the producers and directors? Are you filming these stories and editing these stories? Is this your whole project, or are you farming this out?
A little bit of both. We're the showrunners, so we're kind of overseeing the entire process. We don't individually direct each one. We've directed about three of them so far. But yeah, we kind of oversee the whole thing, the editing, the filming, the music, kind of putting it all together.
They look like massive undertakings. How do you pick the stories that you're telling? I'm familiar with some of them, but some of them ring a bell, some of them don't. How do you decide what stories you're going to do in Untold?
Sure, yeah. Mac and I have this kind of like huge Word document of over the years these sports stories that have always kind of captivated us or that we found really interesting. And I think the big thing for Untold is finding athletes who really want to open up on camera and be raw and vulnerable, not hold things back. And so we kind of do these long conversations with athletes and hear about their life story or a scandal that they're involved in and try and kind of suss out if there's a more to the story than maybe was reported at the time. And kind of through that process, we kind of land on about five stories in each of these volumes that really get at something interesting.
So did Manti Te'o reach out to you, or did you ask him if he's ready to talk?
Yeah, no, he did not reach out to us, but it had been a story that we obviously lived through and remember, and he had never, except for maybe like a Katie Couric interview at the time, kind of in the middle of the whole circuit, had never really spoken at length about it. So we partnered up with a couple great directors, Ryan Duffy and Tony Vinucu, who started the outreach to Manti. We started the outreach to Naya, who was the person behind the online identity that catfished Manti, and kind of started the conversations. And I think to the degree that there was any similarity between the two, I think that neither were very happy with how the media reporting kind of ended this story, kind of the period at the end of the sentence, so to speak. And both had an interest in going not just on record again, but really having long, like multi-day interviews mm-hmm. about this whole story and ultimately the impact that it had had on their lives. And so when we started the conversation and the volume one of Untold on Netflix had already come out and they were somewhat familiar with the show, it kind of just ignited early conversations between all of us and a little bit of that trust building process. And ultimately, when we did secure their participation, that's when we knew that we would have a very interesting documentary to go make.
Well, clearly both of them want to talk. And it's nice to hear him finally unburdened with all of the pressure of the media. He's so free and honest and, frankly, I think sympathetic. And then the person that was catfishing him, boy, there's the get that she, I guess, is how we would describe that person, was so willing to tell her story of manipulation. That was you must have been happy when you scored that interview.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. In a way, like, we grew up watching the Catfish show on MTV and the documentary Catfish. And, like, in a way, what we always, at least in the conversations with the directors and producers and editors, and almost everyone on our team kind of at some point or another made the point of the victim in the hoax is always interesting to hear from. But in some ways, it's almost like I have more questions around the type of person that does do this or yeah. how they do it or how they pull it off. And those were really kind of the questions that were rattling around in my head as we first started talking to Naya. And I think that, like, these documentaries really are right time, right place. It's a perfect, you know, just circumstance of events where, you know, Manti's NFL career was kind of winding down. I don't think he would have talked about this story had he been a current NFL player. He had just gotten married and had a kid. I think really for the first time he was willing to talk about it. And Nia too, she transitioned, she's a trans woman now, and really a large part of her story that she told us was a long journey of kind of self-discovery that she's been on during the last 10 years. And so for both of us, it was they both had just really interesting things to talk about. Yeah. And we really could not be more grateful.
Well, let me see if I've got the story in a nutshell. So Manti Te'o was this standout Heisman Trophy runner-up linebacker for Notre Dame, who his senior year led Notre Dame to the national championship game. They did poorly against Alabama. It was at that time, though, that it was revealed that this longstanding girlfriend he had died on the same day as his grandmother did, and the world was crestfallen. But the world didn't really ask a lot of good questions about the history of his relationship with this woman who he had never met. But he came a cause celeb. And then it was revealed on the eve of the game, or just afterwards, that in fact the girlfriend didn't exist. It was a story that was broken by Deadspin. And really, Deadspin comes off like a champion here, and Dr. Phil comes off like a buffoon. But we discover that the girlfriend didn't exist, that this man at the time, who himself was a good little youth football player, had questions about his sexual identity, thought maybe someday he would transition, created an online persona to sort of populate that feeling that he had. Well, I'll at least be a girl online. Picked a picture of a classmate of theirs and then started to chat with Manti Te'o, and he bought in hook, line, and sinker. It was terribly manipulative, but it was as much her own identity she was exploring than trying to screw this guy up. Fair accounting?
I think that nails it all on the head. And I think, you know, one of the only other parts that's like, in addition to everything you mentioned, is a bit of the notion that a lot of the media, after Deadspin broke the story, took and ran with it, but not just covered it intensely, which that's their job. I understand that. And people are interested in catfishing. We're interested as filmmakers in catfishing. We're kind of in the same boat to a degree. But there was a very strong implication that Manti himself was in on this hoax, in on this conspiracy in some way to benefit his chances at the Heisman or to kind of milk a tragic story for personal benefit. And really, that is, at least throughout our process of making this documentary, remained a lot of people's assumption. Was like, hey, wasn't Manti in on this whole thing? How do you have a girlfriend for 3 years and never admit her and never meet her, but then talk about how tragic her death had on your life?
Yeah.
And I understand that assumption. I do. But in the course of making the documentary, and hopefully, you know, if you watch the documentary, I think that there is some added context of Manti's upbringing. He's a Mormon from Hawaii. He's coming to Notre Dame. He didn't quite fit into that
community. He's not gay.
Absolutely, and the media had endless questions about his own sexuality at the time. But no, I mean, I think your point about Nia is spot on, which, you know, I can only imagine, and I really can only imagine, the difficulty and struggle of her finding herself and her sexual identity in a way, and that this online profile was early steps in that journey in some way.
But she doesn't get off the hook at the end to me. You know, I mean, your two-part film brilliantly contextualizes her and him. But even at the end, on the eve of the big game, she sends a child to represent her niece or little sister. And it's, you know, she's created this monster. And now she's watching it unfold. Holy cow, the thing she unleashed. I mean, it must have been mind-blowing to her. But what an immature, selfish thing she did. And you guys aren't very mean about any of this. You let, I guess, all of us draw our own conclusions. But that's kind of where I landed.
Yeah, I think definitely. I think as filmmakers and artists, it's more about us trying to understand people's stories and then present them to an audience. I think if you have to be incredibly judgmental as a filmmaker, then I think it hinders the interview process and material that you can get.
Yeah.
And so for us, I think we need to go in as neutral as possible and hear the words from our subjects themselves and then present them in the documentary. And then I think one of the really fun, interesting parts of wrestling with documentaries is you get to walk away with your own conclusions and insights, and everyone kind of seems to have a little bit of a different take, which I think all of them that I've heard have all been really valid and fascinating.
I think also, like, to a degree of, like,
pulling punches or anything like that. Like, I do think so much of the power of this documentary comes from Manti's willingness and vulnerability and opening up and the traumatic impact that this had had on not just his life and career and how much money he could have made in the NFL as a first-round draft pick versus a low second-round draft pick, but psychologically his confidence on the field and the fact that this just became what this man was known for the rest of his life in a way. And I do think that that comes from Manti, you know, and like we felt we knew we had to put that in there. We knew we had to absolutely really convey to our audience just the deeply traumatic impact that this did have on Manti's life, which I think does generate fair, tough questions and feelings towards Nia. I think it's all fair, to be honest.
And by the way, this story could happen again. I mean, you know, it's not like the media, I think, has learned its lesson, but Lord, Sports Illustrated, ESPN, the New York Times are exposed for just lazy, bad journalism. And I think the internet and the world hasn't sufficiently changed that we've all learned our lesson here. You know, people are still going to get beat up. They're still vulnerable. The internet is still a scary, crazy place. And if you don't believe that, watch this series, Untold, The Girlfriend Who Didn't Exist. I'm out of time, fellas, but I'll watch all of the episodes and make 1,000 more, okay?
Thanks so much, John. Thanks for having us on. Really appreciate it. Great fun.
Yeah, it's a Netflix series. That's Emmy Award-winning brothers Chapman and McLean Way.